Morning, everyone. Welcome back to Leading Off. I'm your host, Dan Harris. You can find me on Twitter at DanHarris80. With me is my producer and part-time goat herder, Brendan Tuma. You can find him on Twitter at TooMuchTuma. I hope you guys had a wonderful 4th of July and weekend, and I missed you. Seriously. So let's get right into it. Here's how today and this week is going to unfold. First, for our Monday episode, we usually do a full recap of the weekend. But we're not going to do that now because it just doesn't make sense given that there is no baseball this week. So instead, we're just going to touch on stuff that happened this weekend that either left open some questions or which could potentially have a long-term impact in the second half. Then we're going to do one more show this week on Thursday morning. It's going to be a mailbag. Brendan and I are going to publicize it on Twitter so you don't forget. Ask anything you want. Also on that show, my plan is to list every single description I have given to Brendan on this podcast. Ever. Just for fun, and because it took him 2 months to even mention that I was doing that every day. So I assume he has missed several. Then we'll be back at it as usual on Monday morning, and it's going to be swell. Now I said I would be revealing our contest winner for June, and I am a man of my word, so congratulations to Corey Young. Corey has already been notified by email, but now he's famous, so well done. Now if you didn't win, that's okay, we're running it back for July. $100 in TickPick credits to one lucky winner. You could join Brian from Louisiana and Corey as like the luckiest people on earth. All you need to do to be entered is to leave a review for the podcast on iTunes or Stitcher and send a screenshot of that review to contest@fantasypros.com. And remember, if we hit 500 reviews on iTunes, Brendan is coming on this show. And we are apparently closing in on that number, so if you are related to Brendan, you might as well enter the contest. So for today, let's do this. We'll spend the bulk of our time on injury developments because this is really the stuff that has the greatest impact on setting your lineups come Thursday and long term. Then we're going to talk about some closer developments so that you can monitor some situations closely if you need saves. Then we'll look briefly at anything that stuck out over the weekend as possibly moving the needle on some players. Let's get into it. With injuries, we need to start with Carlos Carrasco, whose vague blood condition turned out to be leukemia. First, this is a reminder, as we said with Tyler Skaggs, that baseball players are people. Carrasco's diagnosis reminded me of when I was younger and a pitcher for the Brewers, Doug Davis, was diagnosed with thyroid cancer. And I remember hearing that he cried when he was diagnosed. And it was less the diagnosis and more the fact that he cried upon hearing it that shook me. Because that's how I'm sure I would react. But he was a professional baseball player. They're not mythical creatures. They're just people. So, as I'm sure you do, focus more on the fact that Carrasco has leukemia, first and foremost. But second, as you must know by now, because we've been doing this for like 3 months, we are a fantasy baseball podcast, so we must assess the fantasy impact. Carrasco's illness is being treated and reportedly under control to the extent it can be. He has been cleared to resume strength and conditioning and throwing workouts, but there is no timetable for his return. So the bottom line is, we have no idea if Carrasco is going to pitch again this season. If he does, it's probably not going to be for several weeks, because even by the time he's cleared, he's still going to need to work up to things. So if you have an open IL spot, of course you stash him. Otherwise, I am treating him largely like Tyler Glass now at this point. I'm not expecting much from him. I'd like to hold him if I can just for the potential, but if I have to make a tough choice and move on, then I will. He's not a must hold at this point. CJ Cron and David Peralta were placed on the injured list over the weekend. Cron is dealing with right thumb inflammation, which was reportedly bothering him for a while. And that makes sense when you consider that since June 12th, he has just a 674 OPS. The Twins are optimistic that Cron can return shortly after the All-Star break, but thumb injuries are tricky, especially if it's been bothering Cron for a while. In the meantime, expect Miguel Sano to see a bit more regular playing time, with Luis Arraez to continue to stick in the Twins lineup. As for Peralta, he continues to battle his shoulder injury and was placed on the injured list with a right AC joint inflammation. Since returning after initially injuring his shoulder, Peralta has just a 730 OPS. Now, considering how poorly he was after he returned from his short IL stint, Torey Lovello has said that the team is going to be more conservative this time around, so expect Peralta to miss at least a few weeks here. Now, some positive consequences to Peralta's absence. Eduardo Escobar has started at second base for the last 4 games, with both Christian Walker and Jake Lamb in the lineup. So this looks like it might stick for now. So Escobar, who is having an excellent season, might gain even more eligibility. while Lamb and Walker's everyday at-bats keep them relevant in NL-only and deeper mixed leagues. Jose Alvarado has not yet been placed on the injured list last I checked, but he is expected to miss anywhere from 2 to 6 weeks with an oblique injury. Emilio Pagan got the save yesterday for the Rays, and Diego Castillo is likely to come back right after the break. With Alvarado out, that is one fewer mouth to feed in the Rays' bullpen, but it just seems unlikely that Castillo or Pagan will suddenly turn into a reliable closer with how Kevin Cash manages the game. Neither is a terrible speculative ad, but there are plenty of other situations where you can better spend your time, as we're going to talk about in a bit. Now, there were several injury updates from this weekend, some with a longer-term impact than others. It feels like old news by now, but we hadn't gotten a timetable on Jesus Luzardo the last time we spoke, and it's going to be about 4 to 5 weeks before he can return to game action after he suffered a grade 2 lat strain. So Luzardo could pitch back in the majors by the end of August, but you can't even stash him in an IL spot because he's not in the majors. So in redraft leagues, you can move on entirely unless you have a minor league spot available. Jake Arrieta has been pitching through a bone spur in his right elbow, and he's going to need surgery at some point. Arrieta has a 6.63 ERA over his last 7 outings, and most likely, regardless of when he has surgery, he's not going to be a usable asset in fantasy for the rest of the season. Go ahead and move on, even in NL-only leagues if you have to. We spoke at some point about how Mitch Haniger had gone a bit too fast in his rehab process at first and had to take a step back. Well, now he is not even cleared to resume baseball activities yet. He remains shut down for the time being. There's no timetable for his return, but obviously for planning purposes, you need to be prepared to be without Haniger for at least a few more weeks. Dylan Moore should continue to see regular playing time for the Mariners. Ryan Braun, Justin Upton, Yadier Molina, and Scooter Jeanette missed this weekend's games. Braun didn't start at all this weekend after revealing that he had injured his right knee at the start of last year's playoffs, and he was restricted from lower body work all winter. So that's nice to learn halfway into the season. Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday. Braun reportedly aggravated the injury earlier this week. Now, that all sounds bad, but Braun had 5 steals this year and had played the outfield regularly, so his knee injury couldn't have been too bad before this aggravation, and he did pinch hit each game this weekend. Braun, who had gotten off to a pretty hot start this year, had slowed down a bit, so you're probably not relying on him other than in 5 outfielder leagues, so this is not a huge fantasy loss. But Ben Gamel could see some more time, or Eric Thames could see more time in the outfield with Jesus Aguilar, who homered twice yesterday against the Pirates, seeing more time at first base. Justin Upton missed this weekend's games with a quad injury. This sounds like Upton probably would have landed on the injured list absent the All-Star break, but the Angels will take advantage of the extra rest. Upton said he is feeling better and he should hopefully return over the weekend. Yadier Molina missed this weekend's game with thumb discomfort. Remember, Molina had been on the IL with a thumb injury earlier this season, and he has played poorly since returning with just 3 extra base hits in 20 games played. Hopefully some extra time off helps, but at this point, it seems like Molina may give you less than catchers available on the waiver wire, like Danny Jansen and Mitch Garver. And Scooter Jeanette missed this weekend with a tight left groin, though he did pinch hit on Saturday. Now, it's obviously troublesome that Jeanette is dealing with a groin injury after missing the first half with, you know, a groin injury. But given that he pinch hit, it sounds like this is not something that should be a huge deal. He should return after the break, but obviously it's a bit of a downer. And since Jeanette looks likely to return after the break, that flows right into some other players who should also be back right after the break. Madison Bumgarner was removed from Saturday's game against the Cardinals after being struck with a line drive on the left elbow, but he should be good to go and start Saturday. Luke Voit, Corey Seager, and AJ Pollock should all return from their IL stints immediately after the break. Seager's return should push Chris Taylor, who has played well, back to a super utility role. Corey Dickerson missed Sunday's game with groin discomfort. Orlando Arcia was carted off the field on Sunday after colliding with Keston Hira, and Nick Senzel left Sunday's game with a right ankle sprain. All 3 should be back right after the break, as should Matt Carpenter, who resumed baseball activities on Saturday. 3 notable players are dealing with back injuries. Michael Conforto missed Sunday's game against the Phillies with a stiff back, but he should be fine after the break. Max Scherzer is going to skip the All-Star game because of back stiffness, and just in case you need to be calmed about this, it has reportedly bothered Scherzer for 2 starts, during which he has allowed 1 run and struck out 25 over 15 innings. I think he's okay. He's going to start Sunday against the Phillies. And Christian Yelich will not participate in the Home Run Derby with a back injury. He may even play in the All-Star game, so this is not worrisome. They're just being prudent. Now, with the trade deadline coming up, you know there's going to be some closer turnover. But there were plenty of interesting developments regardless of trades. Edwin Diaz had a nightmare outing on Friday night against the Phillies, was given the ol' he might see some lower leverage situations vote of no confidence by Mickey Callaway, and then pitched a scoreless ninth inning for the save on Saturday. We have talked about Diaz before, but I'm going to reiterate my thoughts briefly. He has been terrible this season, but the Mets bullpen is historically awful. Absent an injury or like seven straight blowups, they can't possibly replace him, particularly after how much they gave up in the trade for him. But they really can't trade him either because he's under team control forever at a very cheap price, he's having a terrible season, and they will never get back as much as they had to spend to trade for him. So from my perspective, he's a safe closer. Other than, you know, he kind of stinks. Now less safe is Greg Holland, who did rebound from two messy appearances to convert back-to-back saves on Saturday and Sunday. Now they were far from pristine. Holland gave up two hits on Saturday and a solo home run on Sunday, but they were both conversions. The Diamondbacks are hanging in the wildcard race, so they need to win, which means Holland's leash is and should be pretty short. Yoan Lopez has been excellent this season, and Yoshihisa Hirano has come around lately. Because we don't know who would get the job, I wouldn't stash either guy yet. But as a Holland owner, be prepared. And if you picked up Liam Hendricks when Blake Treinen went down, you were surely nervous when Treinen came off the injured list quicker than expected. But Bob Melvin came out and said Hendricks is the guy, so congrats. You basically have yourself a top 5 closer. And remember, it's not like Treinen has this long history as a closer or even with the A's. He's had a fairly up and down career. With the way Hendricks is pitching, there is no reason he cannot hold this job for the rest of the season. Now with the trade deadline fast approaching, there are certainly several closing situations to monitor. The White Sox could trade Alex Colome, who is under team control for next year. Kelvin Herrera makes sense as a replacement given that he's under control for several seasons, but he has been absolutely awful this year. The better bet is Aaron Bummer, who has been very good this year and is a favorite of Rick Renteria. So if you're stashing, that would be my first choice. Also, please make note of how much I have grown that I am not making a joke on the name Bummer. Brendan is bursting with pride. Shane Green could obviously be on the move from the Tigers, and you'd have to think that Joe Jimenez should be the guy there. He's under team control for four more seasons, so you'd think that the Tigers would want to see if he can handle the job. Ken Giles, who's under control for one more season, could also be sent packing. Daniel Hudson could be the guy or Joe Biagini, but you probably don't want either one. Will Smith is in the final year of his deal, so he is almost certainly out of San Francisco. There are a lot of things that could happen here. Sam Dyson could take over or also be dealt. Reyes Maranta could get his shot. Or Mark Melanson could get the job back since he still has another year on that bloated contract. It's really hard to tell here and you can't pick up all of them. Personally, I kind of feel like it's going to be Melanson because it's Bruce Bochy's last year and he'll just give it to the veteran because they've been together for a few years, but that is largely a guess. But as a Will Smith owner, you probably won't be getting jiggy with it after the trade deadline. What do you want from me? I held my tongue with Aaron Bummer, okay? I'm not a machine. Felipe Vasquez could be on the move, but he is under team control on a very friendly contract until 2023, so it's hard to see the Pirates giving him up. If so, though, Kyle Crick is your man. Alright, let's close with a couple of interesting notes from the weekend. Caleb Smith returned and was generally effective against the Braves. That's good news. But the Marlins rotation is suddenly a little crowded, because you've now got Smith, Trevor Richards, Sandy Alcantara, Zach Gallen, Eliezer Hernandez, and Jordan Yamamoto. And don't forget that Pablo Lopez is working his way back from a shoulder injury. I honestly don't know how all this gets sorted out. Really, Yamamoto, Hernandez, and Gallen have all pitched well enough to stay, and Gallen has probably had the rockiest ride, even though he probably has the highest potential. As a Gallen owner, I am slightly nervous, but not enough to do anything drastic. It's just a situation to monitor. Andrew Benintendi got a couple of days off and then had a big day on Saturday, going 4-for-6 and then drove in a run on Sunday. But it looks like Rafael Devers is locked into that second spot in the lineup right now, putting Benintendi 5th most days. That should lead to more RBI opportunities, but likely fewer runs scored, and with less protection in the batting order, possibly a slight dip in batting average. Zach Plesac was optioned to AAA, but this was more procedural. He should be back to his regular rotation spot after the break. The Astros are reportedly heavily scouting Matthew Boyd. Boyd's strikeouts have been excellent lately, but he's allowed 4 runs or more in 4 straight starts, and 3 runs or more in 6 straight starts. A trade to the Astros would be an enormous boon to Boyd, who has struggled with wins and would benefit from the Houston voodoo magic. So if you can buy low because of Boyd's 3.87 ERA, it's probably a good idea to do so. Marcus Stroman was scratched from his scheduled start on Thursday and did not get to throw this weekend after he dealt with a left pectoral cramp. Stroman should be fine injury-wise, but the bigger issue is that he's almost certainly going to be traded. The Yankees are reportedly in pretty heavy pursuit, and let's make it clear, anywhere Stroman goes is an upgrade, anywhere. The fact that he is generally effective pitching in Toronto is really a testament to how good he's been this year and throughout his career. If he is available in your league, as he is in 42% of leagues, then adding him now is a smart move. Chris Paddock looked excellent against the Dodgers over the weekend, throwing 5 2/3 scoreless innings with 6 strikeouts. This is just a reminder, after Paddock was sent to the minors and then had a mediocre start his first one back against the Pirates, that he is now back to being the old Paddock. Value him accordingly. Finally, Rougned Odor had a huge weekend. If we include the 4th of July, he hit 3 homers and drove in 9 in the 4-day span. Odor has felt like he is on the verge of losing his job forever, especially now with Willie Calhoun taking ground balls at second base. But particularly yesterday, his home run was a game winner, and he's likely bought himself a little rope. Also remember that he is a big second half player, so if you are desperate at middle infield and need some power, he's not the worst add. As for today, I'm watching the Home Run Derby, you dopes, and catching up on some old Jeopardy episodes because my wife and I are incredible dorks. Remember that Thursday will be a mailbag show, so get any questions into me at DanHarris80 or Brendan at TooMuchTuma. Enjoy your All-Star break, dudes. Catch you in a few days.